Hello again, and welcome to the podcast today on April 29th, 2021. Joanne here with you for a little bit today as we're going to be talking about prayer. And just had an amazing time doing radio today. Felt like the Holy Spirit was just ready to talk about it too. And I'm sure that God is ready to talk to us about spending time in prayer. Last night, my husband and I were looking for something to watch. We a lot of times will find sermons or teachings on YouTube and just kind of listen to something fresh together. And I found one that was on prayer. And so we listened to it, and it wasn't on prayer. It was talking about bringing people, you know, to the Lord. It was so good to see people respond and give their lives to Jesus Christ at the end of that service. But it wasn't on prayer. So I came here today and I thought, well, I guess I'll do it. Sometimes if you see the need, then that's the call. And as it worked out, I just kind of came up with four perspectives that we'll go through. The first one being show up or come into a time of prayer. You know what? Let's just begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today just rejoicing in all that you've done for us. And we give you thanks, Lord God, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Father, it is truly a joy to spend time with you in fellowship and in prayer and in worship and in everything that you've given us to do. Father, would you use this time to accomplish your purposes, to say what you want to say and help people to hear what you want them to hear. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I had a friend years ago that we were serving in a ministry together, and she was just feeling kind of cruddy because she hadn't spent some time in prayer like she felt like she should. And she even said to the Lord, well, I just haven't prayed. And the Lord spoke to her and said, so pray. In other words, okay, if you're feeling bad because you haven't prayed, then just pray. In other words, just pick up where you left off. Even if it's been a while since you've devoted some good time in prayer to the Lord, just come. Just show up. I mean, God is like this amazing friend. Have you ever spent time with a friend and then the time goes by, you don't see him for a while, but then when you do come together again, you just start where you left off because of the relationship and because of the fellowship you enjoy with each other. And that's how God is with us. I don't know if your mother or your grandmother or your great aunt or someone has ever said to you, well, you don't come to see me anymore. You know, just putting that guilt and condemnation. God doesn't want us to start off our prayer time with guilt and condemnation. Okay, we come boldly before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy in our time of need, because we're not coming to God based on our goodness or our performance. We're coming to God through the name and through the power of the blood of Jesus and what he accomplished for us. He took our guilt, he took our shame, he took the condemnation so that we could enter in to the Holy of Holies with God and spend time with him. And so the enemy wants to put shame on us, especially if we've blown it or if we've done something. And it's like, oh gosh, what I did, what I said, or what I failed in. And now I've got to come to God in prayer. No, God doesn't even want us to come with shame. Maybe with confession, okay? Maybe it's something that we need to just ask his forgiveness for. But he wants us to come confidently and with faith that he accepts us and he receives us based on what Jesus has done, okay? Not based on our perfection or our performance. So, you know, sometimes it's like we come before him and he says, child, here, let me straighten up your crown. Okay. Sometimes we come in all feeling like all tattered and disheveled. And he's just like, stand up straight. Hold your head up. Let me straighten your crown. Okay. Let's be who you're called to be and, you know, reflect what I've done for you through Jesus Christ. So, you know, if we have done something and we need God's help, we're not going to find help anywhere else. God knows that we have to come to him to get the help. Okay, so he's not going to beat us over the head when we come to him for the help that we need. All right. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Psalm 123, verse 1. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. So God knows that we have to come to him. So really my first perspective in prayer is come. Just show up. And I like what my friend Barb says. She says, I have an appointment with the Lord every morning. And I kind of agree with Jesus. You know, in Mark chapter 1, I believe it's verse 35, it says, now having arisen a long while before daylight, he departed to a solitary place and there he prayed. I love getting up early and spending time with the Lord first thing. It is the best way to start the day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, you know, come into that secret place with God. Shut the door, okay? You spend time alone with God. You make that appointment and you keep it. And it is exactly what we need to do the Christian life, okay? It's an act of faith to come. It's humility. It's expressing, I can't do my life. I can't do the Christian life apart from God. Even Jesus said, John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So perspective number one, we got to show up. We've got to come to God in prayer. Perspective number two, worship. Okay. Psalms, again, David says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will be thankful to him and bless his name. So part of my prayer life is I start out with worship. It can be worship music. It can be a song. It could be singing to the Lord. I don't necessarily have to have a song. I mean, I can express praise to the Lord, thanking him, praising his name. I can read the Psalms out loud. There's many ways to start out our prayer time with praise. Jesus started out the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. And so this is part of just coming respectfully before a great king. I mean, there's times that we run into his presence like, help God. And you know what? I am so thankful in his love and grace that he accepts us whenever we have to just come storming in the door. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got a situation. And we don't start with praise and worship. But, you know, just remembering that he is God and that he's on the throne and he's seated over all the earth, that he rules and reigns in heaven and on earth. And we come before him acknowledging his greatness, that he's our creator, he's our king, he's our God. There is none higher than he. I mean, it's like we just enter in with that respect for who he is and with that adoration and that love and that praise. I mean, he's drawn to that. You know, we come with praise and worship. It's like, man, we start to experience his presence because he's drawn. He's seated on our praise. So, yeah, we need that. Here's another part about coming with worship, and it's in this word that is called magnifying. Let's see if I can find this here. David, again, he was a master of prayer. Psalm 34, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Psalm 69, 30, I will praise the name of God with a song. Okay, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. So what does a magnifying glass do? From our perspective, it makes things bigger. So if we're magnifying God and coming before him with praise and worship, we are making him bigger than the cares and the issues of our heart. Because many times we're coming to God with some situations. I mean, things that are weighing us down, they're concerning us. It may be, you know, just the enemy trying to mess with us and making our problems seem bigger. So worship is actually an act of faith that magnifies God. And I've found that when we come to God with a whole bunch of, let's just call it our junk, and we choose to worship instead, many times the act of faith to worship takes care of the junk. Okay, all of a sudden we are seated with him in heavenly places, and we are looking at those situations that we came to him with, and all of a sudden it's like they're non-existent. They have lost their power in our lives because we have exalted the one who is all powerful. So this is one of the blessings of beginning with worship. Okay, it's this perspective shift that takes place through the power of the Holy Spirit. We give him praise for that. All right, perspective number three. I called this one dwell, okay? There was a song about survival, and I'm thinking, yeah, we need some survival techniques to do our Christian life. And dwelling in God's presence is one of those survival techniques. I mean, the place of abiding with someone that you love, you know, just hanging out, chilling together, enjoying each other's company, you know, no pressure. And God, he loves our friendship. You know, sometimes we see ourselves as servant and master, you know, human and God. You know, we're coming to him with this duty of prayer. But man, can we see ourselves as a friend of God that just wants to come and abide with him, sit with him? And he loves that, you know, or no pressure, may not even have to speak, just kind of enjoy his presence. I mean, it's a lavish love, or he just loves to place his hand upon us, you know, the Holy Spirit poured out upon us, that we can just enjoy his presence and dwell in that. Can you do that with the Lord? Can you come and just dwell? He loves that. I mean, he's not always that hard to please, you know, by us doing everything, you know, flipping cartwheels the whole bit, you know, just dwell and enjoy him. Here's one thing I heard the Lord say, in that this idea of dwelling in his presence, is that if we will learn to do relationship with God, then we'll learn to do relationship with people. As we dwell with him, as we encounter his presence, we come close and he rubs off on us, okay? Because he is power, he is light, he is fire, he is strength. And, you know, we come away from his presence with him on us. His glory is on us. And I'll be the first to say, I need that. You know, in my Christian life, in my family life, and in just the things that I've been called to do, I need for him to rub off on me. I need to come in close proximity to Jesus so that I get Jesus fired up on the inside of me. Just that strength and that power he gives us through his Holy Spirit. It's just part of the spiritual life, okay? One of the songs that came up, that I loved it, and it was in the hour that I was talking about dwelling, and it's called Just Be Held by Casting Crowns. And, you know, just totally made the point. And I thought about, you know, just how God just wants to hold us. I can remember when my kids were little, and sometimes I just wanted to hold them. But man, they were so busy. You know, they were just running around doing this and this. They were thinking about 100 different things a minute. And I just want to say, would you just be still so I could hold you? I just want to hold you in my arms. And off they go, running to conquer the next thing. And, you know, is it ever like that with our Father, that he just wants to hold us? Yeah, I believe it is. So we're going to move on to perspective number four, and it's the asking, okay? You know, we've learned so much about, you know, just not coming to God with our shopping list, you know, or like he's a vending machine. We put in our quarter and push the button and get what we, you know. This is about relationship. And honestly, my heartfelt prayer for today and for those who hear this is James 1:22. This is what I'm asking the Lord for, is that people, that we, self-included, we will not just be hearers of the word, but that we will be doers of what we hear. And, you know, all of these things that you're hearing, this fresh juice for your prayer life, you know, take what applies to you and and put it into action and just experience fresh life, fresh power, fresh anointing in your prayer time. Asking for what we need. Praise God, he said this in his word, that we could ask. And probably, let me switch to the, oh, there's only 172 references in the New Testament for asking. Let me be a little bit more specific. I believe it was also found in the book of James where it says, you have not because you ask not. And I don't think I ask as much as I should in prayer. I kind of look at God and I stand on what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He says, your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. And sometimes it's like, you know, just he can guide us with his eye. You know, he just gives us a glance and we know what he's wanting. We know what he's thinking. It's like parents who give their children the look. It's like they know what we mean. Sometimes I just look at God and he knows what I'm asking for in my heart. Sometimes I'll ask it outright, but sometimes I just have confidence that he knows what's in my heart and mind. And mature prayer. Let's talk about mature prayer for just a minute. Because often we ask for what we need, and God loves to answer those prayers. Many times we will ask for what we want. God loves to answer those prayers too. But as we mature in our relationship with God, you know, we start asking for what God wants. You know, what is he releasing to us? What is he revealing to us? And then to come to him in prayer, asking for those things. One of the phrases that we read about in the Psalms is seeking the face of God. And the face there actually means the person. We are coming to seek the person of God. And I believe when we see him, we know what he's thinking and what he's wanting. And a lot of times my perspective when I come to spend time with the Lord is just, Father, what's on your heart today? You know, what do you want from my life today? You know, here I am. Father, I'm seeking your face to know your heart. And what I have found in mature prayer is that if we will take care of God's business, he'll take care of ours. Okay, so yes, there's still a time for asking. There's still that time for laying down the burdens that we're not meant to carry and taking up the things that we are supposed to carry and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm thankful we can lay down the things that, like Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, there, when we're yoked up with Jesus and doing the things that he has called us to do, there is an ease and there is a grace upon it. And we get to experience that. Let's wrap up with Matthew chapter 7. Begin with verse 7, where it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And I've got to pray this. I mean, I've got to say this one more time. God has said this. Everyone who asks receives. Point blank. Okay. He who seeks finds, to him who knocks it will be open. What man is there among you that if his son asks for bread, will you give him a rock? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And then Luke, when he records this, he says, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask them? So we are in a lavish love relationship with God. He loves to lavish his presence upon us. He loves to lavish his love and even his goodness upon us when we ask him. So I pray that this has been just fresh, fresh fire for your prayer life. I hope you are excited and joyful about spending time with your Father in prayer. Until next time.